This episode is brought to you by Oddmos Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
This episode is also brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. With their ever-growing selection of spirits, beers, and local wines, as well as some awesome gifts that you cannot find anywhere else, they're much more than your average liquor store. Find them in the Fred Meyer Shopping Center. Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Well, just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, the state fire marshal said, "Hold my beer," and announced that Oregonians will now be pumping their own gas for the next 2 weeks, at least. The agency made the announcement on its Facebook page Saturday morning, saying it was suspending the regulations prohibiting self-service at gas stations in response to the impacts of COVID-19 on Oregon. Said State Fire Marshal Jim Walker, quote, "During this unprecedented time of state emergency, we need to ensure that critical supply lines for fuel and other basic services remain uninterrupted. The self-service regulation is in place through April 11th, and the agency said it would work with industry representatives to determine if self-service rules needed to be extended after that. For lifetime Oregonians, who may have never had to pump their own gas, instructions will be posted on pumps, along with flyers from the Office of the State Fire Marshal explaining the new rules. The agency said service stations must still have an attendant on duty to, quote, supervise self-service refueling consistent with the social distancing policies and help mitigate the spread of COVID-19 through sanitation measures," end quote. Stations can offer self-service fueling without an attendant only if there are no employees available to work. The public's response to the announcement was overwhelmingly negative, on social media anyway. "I'm not sure how this helps," said one commenter on the Canby Now podcast Facebook page. "Can someone explain how having us pump our own gas will limit the spread versus having one person use gloves?" No one could. Many others criticize the wisdom of such a change, while the general public is more conscious of germs and contamination than we have ever been. "What a stupid idea," said one Canby resident, while another asked, "How is this better?" with two question marks. So you know they were really ticked off. A few, however, applauded the new regulations and said they couldn't wait to take advantage. "I had one gas pump attendant cough in my face, telling a joke, and then lean into my window laughing," said one man. "I welcome this change." By the end of the day, the state fire marshal had clarified that this is a voluntary change for service stations that allows self-service of gasoline if the station chooses, with the goal of allowing attendants to avoid close contact with customers. For those visiting stations with self-service who touch a shared surface there or elsewhere, the fire marshal's office reminds you to please continue to practice safe hand hygiene by washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds and not touching your face. Stay home, save lives. This was the message from Mayor Brian Hodson, Canby Fire Chief Jim Davis, and other city leaders this week as they came together to share critical information about the impact of the coronavirus pandemic and the local response. The virtual town hall meeting, of sorts, was hosted at Canby Foursquare Church and broadcast via CTV and Facebook Live. It also included Police Chief Brett Smith, Interim City Administrator Amanda Zyber, and School Superintendent Trip Goodall. While sharing important information, most leaders also took the opportunity to plead with residents to follow the statewide social distancing and stay-at-home guidelines put in place by Oregon Governor Kate Brown. Here's Mayor Hodson.
We are a strong and resilient community. I am pleading with each and every one of you, please, if you do not have to go out, then please don't. If you have to work, leave your home, go to your job, go to your work, get in your car and go home. If you have to stop, please remember to keep the social distancing in mind. We are a great community and we will work together to get through this.
Locally, Canby Fire, Canby Police, and other agencies have activated an emergency operations center at the fire district's headquarters on South Pine Street. Police and fire are working together to respond to emergency calls and may be wearing personal protective equipment, PPE, as needed to protect themselves and others. Canby Police is here to stay during this time of uncertainty. Chief Smith assured viewers on Wednesday, "We are not going anywhere." Police will continue to respond to 911 calls. Many reports will be taken by phone, he said, but in-person responses will occur when they are warranted. Chief Smith said his officers do technically have the authority to enforce the governor's executive order, including making arrests or issuing citations. Violating a governor's orders during a state of emergency would constitute a Class C misdemeanor. All Oregon law enforcement are unified, however, on the premise that such police action is undesirable, Smith said. Canby Community Park, also known as River Park, was closed to motor vehicle traffic this week, with the access road being gated off. Zyber said the decision was made, quote, to support social distancing. All playgrounds and public restrooms at park facilities have also been closed, while all city parks and trails remain open to pedestrians on foot. Cyber said the city council meeting this Wednesday will go forward as planned, with community members being invited to watch and participate virtually. Major city projects that were in process, including the new splash pad at Maple Street Park, the new traffic light at the entrance to the Fred Meyer complex at Sequoia and Hazeldale, and the quiet zone in downtown Canby, are all still making headway, Zyber said, with all efforts being made to maintain the timelines that were already put in place. "We are doing as much as we can remotely," she said Wednesday. Chief Davis of the fire district said the current crisis is unlike anything he has seen in his almost half a century of experience in emergency service.
"I would like to speak to you from the bottom of my heart and to ask for your help. In my 46 years of experience, I have managed or witnessed numerous disasters, such as the eruption of Mount St. Helens, local earthquakes, multiple windstorms, and September 11th, 2001, known as 911. What all of us are experiencing now and for the distant future is unprecedented.
But we will unite as a community and overcome this," Davis concluded, "as we always have, because Canby cares." President Donald Trump signed into law on Friday a $2 trillion coronavirus emergency relief stimulus package to aid state, tribal, and local governments during the pandemic. The bipartisan bill will offer assistance to tens of millions of American households affected by the coronavirus pandemic. It includes components such as stimulus payments to individuals, expanded unemployment coverage, student loan changes, different retirement account rules, and more. Relief checks will be sent to individuals and families. Most adults will get $1,200, although some will get less, and most married couples without children will get $2,400. For every qualifying child age 16 or under, the payment will be an additional $500. In a statement that same day, House Republican leader Christine Drazen of Canby applauded the actions taken by Congress and the White House, saying it will provide needed relief for Oregon families and businesses in the wake of the COVID crisis. These funds will support our state and nation in recovery, helping Oregonians to access necessary resources during these trying times, she said. Small businesses now have options to stay afloat and keep people employed, or be ready to open their doors again in the future. She called it imperative that any action taken to safeguard public health, like the executive order signed this month by Governor Kate Brown, be balanced by offsetting the economic impact felt across the state. I am committed to working with my colleagues in the Oregon legislature to fill any gaps, especially when it comes to system-wide responsiveness and resilience to make sure our first responders can care for Oregonians through this crisis, while also meeting the needs of Oregon families, businesses, and local communities, Representative Drazen said. In a separate statement, Senate Republican leader Herman Bartschiger Jr. of Grants Pass also expressed his caucus willingness to work with the governor to provide relief to working Oregonians impacted by efforts to stem the coronavirus pandemic. Regardless of this situation, the Senate Republicans are prepared to work with the governor to help bring immediate relief to Oregonians during this unprecedented time, he said. We are awaiting the governor's recommendations so the legislature can respond accordingly. For more information on what's in the federal emergency relief bill, find this story on our website at canbenowpod.com. When Governor Kate Brown announced her initial two-week closure of schools statewide, the impact on students, families, and educators was lessened by the simple fact that schools were planning to be closed most of that time anyway, thanks to spring break. Well, spring break is over this week, and schools will still be closed for at least another month. In his latest update to families, Canby Superintendent Tripp Goodall answered the burning question most communities have. What will school look like in the coming weeks? One thing he made clear, Canby schools will not be moving to a 100% online learning model. Neither our staff nor our students are prepared or trained for that structure of teaching and learning, Goodall said. Our goal is to keep students connected to their teachers and their learning. There is no way to replicate our regular school day through distance learning. He said their plans are being updated with guidance from the Oregon Department of Education and in accordance with the orders by Governor Brown. They will gradually roll out supplemental educational and learning opportunities for our students during the first full week of April. Families of current students should expect to hear from a district staff member this week who will go over plans for supplemental educational and learning supports. In the meantime, some resources have already been made available on the district's website. What about graduation, currently set for June 5th, and prom? Will these important rites of passage happen as planned? Will seniors even be able to graduate after missing 6 weeks or more of their final year of instruction? Goodall says the district is working to get guidance from the state about what the extended closure will mean for graduation requirements. Once we know what these requirements are, our staff will evaluate the graduation pathway for each senior and will develop an individualized plan for them, Goodall said. We will communicate directly with families and seniors about these plans. Since both graduation and prom are scheduled for after April 28th, they remain on the calendar for now. But that could certainly change if Governor Brown decides to further extend school closures. The school district will continue to provide free grab-and-go breakfast and lunch meals for all children 18 and under starting Monday and continuing throughout the closure. Meals are available for pickup from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Baker Prairie, Karis, Eccles, Trost, and 91 School. When it comes to social distancing, nobody does it better than Bigfoot. And it looks like that will continue this summer. Sadly, the Oregon Bigfoot and Beyond Festival, which was planned to be held for the first time in Canby this July, has been canceled. Conceived by JC and Katie Mercer, the quirky and family-friendly event that started in 2017 and has quickly grown and grown and grown. Even the first year, the event drew thousands to its original home, Glen Auto Community Park in Troutdale. The festival has drawn interest from celebrity Bigfoot researchers, yes, that's a thing that exists, artists, media outlets, and nationally syndicated radio and TV personalities. The event's focus has evolved as well, from being centered on Sasquatch to including other things cryptic and paranormal, hence the wording, and beyond that was added to its name. By last year, it had become obvious that the event had outgrown Glen Auto, and the Mercers made plans for a long-term move to the Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Event Center in Canby. Then, the coronavirus struck. The Mercers announced the decision to cancel this year's festivities on March 19th. What it came down to was there was just no way we could guarantee everyone's safety, J.C. Mercer told the Cambydale podcast this weekend. It was a very, very difficult decision, but it's what everyone's doing. I mean, they even postponed the Olympics. The Mercers' agreement with the fairgrounds covered 5 years, so they've already begun planning for 2021. Still, the cancellation of an event that had been scheduled for late July does not bode well for those who were hoping for a return to some semblance of normalcy this summer. The popular Spring Garden Fair has already been pushed back from the first weekend in May to the last one, where it would be held in conjunction with the Clackamas County Event Center's Taste and Tunes Festival on May 29th, 30th, and 31st. Organizers of the Oregon Resonance Fair are still planning on holding their event the first two weekends in June, according to Fairgrounds Marketing and Vendor Coordinator Tyler Neiser. Also on the horizon, Hairfest 10, which is planning, and hoping, to draw thousands of classic rock lovers to the fairgrounds July 10th and 11th. Neiser said he and his team are working with organizers for each event and making adjustments based on the latest information and guidelines. Our number one goal, obviously, is keeping people safe, Neiser said. We're working with everybody and making backup plans to our backup plans if we need to. We're moving forward as best as we can. When the pandemic is behind us and people are able to safely congregate again, the fairgrounds will be ready. When this is all over, you know, I'm sure people are going to want to get out of the house, Neiser said with a laugh. We're excited for that. Hopefully, we'll be able to put on some great events this summer to help with that.
The Cambie Now podcast is brought to you in part by DirectLink, where technology meets tradition. Cambie's longest-running and most innovative communications provider for over 116 years, DirectLink has worked hard to bring quality services to the area at affordable prices. From establishing phone lines in the early 1900s to being the first gigabit internet speed provider in Oregon, DirectLink paves the way for new technology so our neighbors can stay connected. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities.
We'd like to extend our undying gratitude to Cambie Now Plus member Caitlin Kanegi. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we love. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we love. To find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon, visit cambienowpod.com/plus. And now we're going to play for you our interview with JC and Katie Mercer of the Oregon Bigfoot Festival, which was recorded last month. As you've already heard, this event has been canceled for this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, it will take place in 2020 in Canby. Planning for it has already begun. We certainly can't wait.
For many years, Oregon has been one of the most popular states for Bigfoot sightings, one of the top in the nation. Is Bigfoot real or is he just a legend? The truth is out there. And this summer, the truth will be right here in Canby at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds with an event that is new to that venue, but several years in the making, the Oregon Bigfoot and Paranormal Festival. Joining us on the line now are the event's organizers and founders, JC and Katie Mercer. Tell us a little bit about how the event got started. It has an interesting history.
We started 3 years ago. It was called the Oregon Bigfoot Festival at that time, and we were focusing mostly on Bigfoot, obviously. This last year, we decided to expand into the paranormal, supernatural, the rest of the cryptozoology characters, and some of the fiction stuff. We renamed our company the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond. We renamed the festival the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond. Brand new logo. And
It's an amazing logo, can I just say? I love it so much.
That's due to Sean Engelman. Sean Engelman drew that, made it, and he's awesome. He also does our social media commercials, the puppeteers. Last year he was at the festival last year, so if anybody made it out there, Sean Engelman was the one walking around with the puppeteer,
the Bigfoot
puppets.
Awesome. So what was the idea for launching it 3 years ago? What kind of led you to do this crazy thing?
We actually went out to Hood River, and we were walking around, and we saw all the Bigfoot items out there. And JC said, well, does Oregon have anything? Do they have anything that brings people together for the Bigfoot? And I said, I don't think so. And then he started getting ideas, and we thought about having it over at my mom's rec center. And we didn't realize how many people were going to show up. Luckily, we didn't do that. We went to Glen Auto Park, and we had about 3,000 people
Thousands. Year. That's crazy. Yeah.
It was crazy. Honestly, the rec center that we were looking at her mom's place, it only held like 50 people.
Yeah, your mom probably appreciates it as well that you didn't end up holding it.
Yeah, and a lot of our volunteers were family, and they thought that we were going to probably have 50 people show up if not, and their jaws pretty much dropped when they saw how many people were interested.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
So, talk a little bit, obviously I'm going to share as well, but kind of what do you think that comes from? What is the appeal of an event like this and just diving into, initially it was Bigfoot and then kind of broadening it out to more of the supernatural, more of the paranormal, but what do you think is the appeal of that for folks?
How about I'll cover the Bigfoot part and then you cover the paranormal. With the Bigfoot part of it, it was something that, as a kid, I grew up with Harry and the Hendersons and
sure.
Legend of Boggy Creek. I always want to call it Bogey Creek, but it's actually pronounced Boggy Creek. Mm-hmm. The Bigfoot, the $6 million man, episode with, Andre the Giant, those kinds of things were always fascinating to me, and creatures along with that. When I moved to Oregon, like Katie said, we were discovering that there was a lot of Bigfoot stuff, and then obviously that just kind of caught my eye. And so for me, Bigfoot's always just been something, a creature that I've always been fascinated with. And then here we are.
Yeah, and I think, going to and beyond, some people say, why don't you keep with just the Bigfoot? But for us, I think Bigfoot, there's people that believe in Bigfoot. There's people that don't believe. There's people that believe in aliens. There's people that don't believe and supernatural and all of that. And so I think everybody wonders, is it true? Or they've heard of sightings of aliens or Bigfoot. And so I think in every one of us, we kind of, it makes us fascinated of, could it be, And so I think that's what the draw is that, you really don't know. I mean, is there really something out there?
Until you come face to face with something, you really just don't know. But whenever you come face to face with something that you really can't explain or that has you puzzled, then, those become stories. And then either the person that is listening to the story either believes it or they don't believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like I said, share a little of my experience. I am obsessed with cryptozoology. Like, it's quite, I don't know how many of my friends know that, but my wife just found out a few years into our marriage. It was a difficult time. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I grew up same as you, JC, just like obsessed with Bigfoot, with all the cryptids, you know. When I was growing up, like, there weren't a ton of like really websites or things you could go to, but I was just scouring like all these like random, like probably skeezy blogs and stuff that were putting malware on my computer and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, just the idea that in the jungles or in the deep woods that haven't been fully discovered, there could be, you know, creatures, there could be things that we, living fossils and things like the coelacanth do get discovered. Like, it's not unheard of that there are things in the oceans or things in the deep parts of the jungle that we have never seen before. And just, you know, as a kid and even as an adult, I think it just, to me, sort of awakens that thrill of finding something new, that thrill of discovery, that thrill that we don't quite have everything figured out, or we haven't discovered everything there is to discover about our world, which I think we need some of that. It would be boring without it.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what? You actually nailed it. It really is about discovery. It really is about the final frontier and, you know, the unknown. So there's a ton of this planet that we just don't, you know, haven't discovered.
Yeah.
It's completely untouched by it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look at, you know, it seems like aliens and close encounters of whatever degree is part of the and beyond as well. I know there's a little UFO guy in your logo. But I mean, we haven't even really scratched the surface of exploring our universe. I mean, who knows what is out there? It's just silly to think that there's not something.
Exactly.
And that doesn't even include the supernatural world. I mean, angels and demons and, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, there is a huge universe, you know.
Yeah. And now that we have cameras everywhere, people are catching things that, you know, we back in the old days, we never ever saw. And so it just makes you wonder that much more when you're seeing things flying through the air or, you know, everything that they're capturing on video.
Yeah. So needless to say, when I heard that this was coming, Clackamas County Fairgrounds, I was like, I got to get these guys on an interview. I'm so, so excited. Tell me a little bit more about the event and the festival. We talked about its early stages. It's very surprising, you know, that first year. Did you spend the next 3 years all in Troutdale at the same location? And this is your first move to our fairgrounds?
Yes. For the first 3 years, it was at Glen Auto Park in Troutdale. We've actually been outgrowing that. I mean, they've been great to us, but
you guys were the largest event in Troutdale, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, last year we probably had about 7,000 people show up.
It was crazy.
And so the parking wasn't the greatest, and you know, one of the people that helped us there at the grounds, she just was like, they just keep coming. And so we thought, you know, with adding the beyond, that we just couldn't have it there, you know, because it was already 80 plus vendors that we had. And adding that beyond was just going to create more vendors and more interest. So with the fairgrounds, it has more parking.
Thousand spaces, actually.
A thousand spaces for parking, and it's just a bigger complex for us. And we can actually add a beer garden, which we couldn't have at Glen Auto. We can add more speakers, and just have more vendors. So we're excited that it's expanding.
We also are going to be able to have an inflatable playground for the kids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, with inflatable, you know,
Bigfoot themed, I hope.
we're trying.
Yeah, sure.
So it's just, it's exciting to be able to, you know, but it's also a scary move too, because we're used to being where, you know, we're comfortable, and now we're, you know, moving out and beyond and looking for bigger and better things. So
something that we're both happy that we were able to continue. The price admission, we've always been asking, we've always have asked for a suggested $5 donation to get in. Mm-hmm. This year, we're asking a $5 admission, so it's a $5 ticket to get in. Mm-hmm. That was $10 at the door. Yeah, exactly. You know, it was real important for us to provide entertainment, family entertainment that could be, you know, that is affordable for basically all families. I mean, everybody pretty much has all year to buy a $5 ticket for an all day event with live bands. And we have guest speakers that are speaking on the main stage. We have special effects costumes from Ravenous Studios. They're a local makeup artist company here.
Awesome.
Yeah, like we're really excited about it. In the last 3 years, they provided us with our Bigfoot that everybody's seen. Mm-hmm. This year, we'll have the Bigfoot, and we'll have the special alien creature that we're really excited about.
Nice.
And then we also have another creature coming from L.A. It's a snow beast creature. That's from a different special effects company.
Nice. So one thing that you didn't mention, you know, that comes with moving to the fairgrounds, we have all of these arenas and stalls and stuff. So if you can just capture a real Bigfoot, we have a place to store them right there.
Well, apparently Cliff Berkman knows where they're at. So that might be a possibility.
So you're going to have tell me just a little bit more kind of about the flavor of the event and the things it offers. So you're going to have speakers. What are the vendors like? I guess you have like some authors, some people selling paranormal merch and like Bigfoot T-shirts and stuff of that sort. Or what's that aspect like?
Exactly. All of our vendors, all of the vendors will be themed to Bigfoot or paranormal. They'll have all kinds of merchandise from nail press-ons for the girls to T-shirts with, you know, characters on them for the guys and girls, right. I mean, it's pretty much a free-for-all when it comes to merchandise with all the themed characters, you know, with it. So
yeah,
We're really excited about that. It's not just a Saturday market. It's not it's not just a flea market. We're, you know, a bunch of vendors. They're all themed.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that actually we make mandatory. Everybody that participates with that, they must theme their space with what we're doing. We're also excited too. For the last 3 years, we've had the Oregon Bigfoot Conference. This year we're expanding to include a new conference called the OBF Paranormal and Beyond Conference. Mm. And we're really excited about that. We signed Derek Hayes of the TV show Paranormal Caught on Camera. We signed Sarah Lemos from Ghosts of Morgan City. Jerry Bell Jr. he's appeared on Z Nation. Mm-hmm. And Graham, the TV show Graham. Mm-hmm. We've also signed Heather Taddy from Paranormal State and Alien Highway. So we're pretty excited about that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and then for the Bigfoot conference, we have Cliff Berkman from Finding Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
Mel Skahane, he's been seen on Expedition Bigfoot. And then James Bobo Fay from Finding Bigfoot. So we're really excited about that.
Cool. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know too much, but I mean, we're in a little bit of a hotbed area here in Canby. I've heard of a few sightings, but especially over toward Malala is quite a bit of activity over the years around Goat Mountain out here. So, I mean, there's other areas in Oregon as well that are kind of hotbeds, but not unheard of even just in this local area where the event's going to be.
Well, yeah,
that's awesome. He can make an appearance.
Yeah,
right. He might. You never know. I'll spot him the $10 to get in. So
$5 if you buy in advance.
You buy in advance, right? Cool. So I don't think we mentioned the date. It's going to be Saturday, July 25th. Like you mentioned, all day. Okay. The food. Please tell me there's themed food.
There is.
Okay. One of the
featured vendors that we have is Tasty Treasures.
Uh-huh.
And they've been with us the whole time, and they have awesome food. You guys are going to definitely love that. There's a bunch of other vendors coming also, too. Voodoo Donuts. Yeah, Voodoo Donuts.
Oh, nice.
They'll be there.
Last year, they had a had a theme doing it for Bigfoot.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool, to be honest with you. I was so honored for them to participate and to actually create a donut for us. That was really cool.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah. Something else that was kind of interesting about this, about our event. I've actually had a UFO experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
So please share.
I haven't had any Bigfoot experiences, but I did have a UFO experience back when I was like 21 years old, mm-hmm. In California. I was a security guard at a golf course, and it was late at night, and over the horizon, there was this helicopter light that I saw, and mm-hmm. I looked at it, and as I was looking at it, the helicopter light started moving really weird, random flight or whatever you call it. It was moving sporadically across.
Yeah, erratic.
Erratic. That's the word I'm looking for. It was weird. I really don't know what I saw. It really was, identified or unidentified.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I really have no idea what I was looking at, but it wasn't moving like a helicopter. The only reason why I refer to it as a helicopter light is because it was a white light, but it never blinked. It never, it didn't do anything that a normal helicopter does. I just refer to it as that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so funny as you're describing it. Like, I can't help but like picture like a cheesy reenactor, like you see on the shows. Like,
that's what it felt like. I ran, I was like, okay, I'm out of here. I've lost interest.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, you don't want to get abducted. That's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. that's the end of my story.
Right. Cool. So the best place to get tickets in advance then is your website, OregonBigfootFestival.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, well, all the information's there. Everything is there, actually.
Yeah. Well, we are so excited. Thank you for your time, and thank you so much for bringing this to Camby. I'm so excited.
Yes, thank you.
We look forward to seeing you.
Yeah.
Anything to add before you go?
Actually, no. I think everything's pretty much at the website. And we're adding more mm-hmm. items every day, more speakers and more entertainment. It's continuing to grow.
Okay. Well, if this sounds cool to you, check them out on their website, OregonBigfootFestival.com or Oregon Bigfoot Festival on social media. JC and Katie Mercer, thank you again for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'm here with Derek Hill at Advantage Mortgage, and you had some advice you were wanting to put out there to prospective home buyers.
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy out there right now. The housing market is just blazing fast, especially in the first-time home buyer range of prices.
Oh, cool.
So it's imperative that you find out all the ins and outs. You know, how much can you afford? What's your payment range that you want to be in? What type of loan program you're qualified for? Because there's a lot of no money down loan programs that are available, but they really might not be best for you. In my experience, those loans have an increased payment that if they had a little bit of money down, they wouldn't need. But the great thing about Camby is it's eligible for the USDA loan program, which is a no money down loan. But my point is, it's just super important to get it figured out before you start looking, because I've seen customers go find the house they love, they call me and they're like, let's go. Right. And then by the time we get everything dialed in, which can be in 4 hours, that house is gone.
Yeah.
And so it's just way better. So I just want to make sure that consumers know, give us a call. Just give us, let's meet, let's talk about it, let's get everything dialed in so that you know exactly what you're up against, and then you're ready. You can make that offer and kaflooey, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And people can find you on your website or just give you a call?
They can go to findtheadvantage.com or call 266-5800, obviously 503 area code. And we love to chit-chat, and we have, 8 or 9 different loan officers here in the Camby office that would love to sit down with somebody and work with them.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Derek Hill, NMLS number 50183, Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 177059, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Well, joining us on the line now is local musician Jesse LeMaine. Jesse, as I'm sure everyone listening is aware, this is a little bit of a challenging time for performance musicians like yourself, with theaters being closed and gigs being canceled. But you recently found an outlet to perform music anyway for people and bring a little joy to hopefully bring a little joy to folks that are maybe feeling isolated as well. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you. And it was a really fun experience. I got to give credit to my wife. It was her idea, truly. And it was kind of in the aftermath. It was really shocking when, 15, 20 gigs that you have lined up, every single one is canceled. And, while I understand it is for the best, we have to do what we can to, flatten the curve, right? But, Donna, she's like, hey, well, why don't we take a concert to some folks? Let's put you in the back of the pickup truck and take off and go play some shows. We don't even have to get close. And so that's what we did. Big community member Linda Tate is Donna's, Donna's mom. And so we rolled over there and went down the driveway and sang. And our mantra through this whole thing has been, the every little thing is going to be all right, the Bob Marley tune.
And Three Little Birds.
Yeah, Three Little Birds, technically, right? And the actual name of the song, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But whatever. Bob Marley wouldn't care.
He wouldn't care.
So we did that, and I sang a few tunes. We drove to Lisa Cyril's house in Canby up 4th Street. And that's where we kind of cruised the whole block, and folks came out of their houses, and the cutest little family was dancing around in the driveway, played some classic rock, played some country, we weren't asking for money, nothing like that, but just to kind of spread some cheer when there's so many variables and so many things that are unknown, and it's all really scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, everybody, so why not do that a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, and don't forget to tell people what you called it.
Arona Caroling, that's right.
Love it.
Arona Caroling. Also, the wife came up with that too.
Yeah. And it is very similar, in the original sense of caroling, kind of going house to house, just spreading joy in a time, the holidays, not necessarily, although it is for some, but in this case, a time when folks really need it, really are yearning for that connection. I know some people specifically have told me the thing they miss most is live music, that they can't do that. So that's a specific need that, it's helping to fill. So that's really cool.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think that it touched me more so than, the community that we performed with, because that's why I do this. That's why we make music, is that feeling you get when you play for somebody and it makes them happy and you get happy. And, the same way a chef, smiles when somebody tastes their food and loves it,
Yeah.
A painter, when people are admiring their art, just the same kind of feeling that's just not recreatable over the internet.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Or the feeling I get when I tell like a really great dad joke and somebody just face palms and goes, ugh, that's the same feeling that it gives to my heart. So, Jesse, did you happen to do the song I Sharona, but you changed the words to My Corona? I've seen that on YouTube.
No, didn't do any Corona parodies.
All right. All right. Maybe next time.
Right.
Cool.
I have seen some pretty funny ones on the internet, though. My favorite is the Ice Ice Baby rendition.
Where I saw a bunch of them was this video. And if you guys go on our website and look up the article Corona Caroling, that's about this story you're listening to now, there's a link to the YouTube video that shows that first trip visiting with Linda Tate. And where I saw a lot of these parodies were like, on YouTube for that video, where it's like, you like this, you'll love, it had all these suggested videos and it was all these Corona parodies. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I saw somebody remake Madonna's Vogue into a Corona Vogue, and it was pretty funny, right. You know?
Yeah, I saw that one, too.
Yeah.
Or Sting, Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Yep.
About social distancing. Yeah, it's good.
I heard a guy actually do a toilet paper comedy to Jimmy Buffett, you know, Margaritaville.
Oh,
and...
Oh, wasting away again, I tell you.
Yep.
Cool. Well, how are you holding up?
You know, we are holding up okay. We actually live in Oregon City. We're kind of right in the heart of the town part, and it's pretty dead and pretty quiet. And kind of before the hysteria hit, we already had to stock up on the groceries thing, so we've kind of avoided that. We're holding up okay. You know, a lot of daily communication, even I think more so than pre-corona, if you want to call it. Just kind of touching bases with everybody, the kids, you know, close family.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of thankful to have such a good community and a good support system, because I know that there's people that are completely isolated that this has to feel torturous for.
Yeah.
And, you know, my heart definitely goes out to them. I encourage them, go listen to the videos, go check out other musicians' live feeds. For me personally, as a musician, I don't get to see a lot of other musicians play,
right?
Because we're always out gigging, right? So this has been actually kind of a blessing for me, because I get to see all my other friends in the industries play and perform and help support them too. And, you know, it's definitely a struggle, and I feel for all the business owners too that are kind of up a creek without a paddle, you know, in this kind of indefinite, you know, closure time. So I'm doing good. Our family is okay. We're all healthy at the moment. But, you know, definitely feeling the feels lately. It's definitely getting to me a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Jesse, for your time and telling us about it. When you kind of talk about Oregon City, and we see it down here in Canby too, just downtown and how quiet it's been, you're definitely a part of you that's like, this is weird, I don't like this, this is eerie, this is sad. But there's also a little part of you that's like, that knows this is good, because the sooner that we can, you know, do the social distancing, as hard as it is, get past this pandemic, you know, the sooner you're going to be back out there on stage, which is what we all want. So
exactly. Well, thanks, Tyler, I really appreciate it. You know, hope everybody just stays safe and just, you know, kind of stick your head in the dirt and get through this next little bit, and we'll see what happens here shortly, right?
Right. And conserve the toilet paper.
Yes. Go easy on the sheets.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. The Can Be Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Can Be by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Can Be Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Can Be Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.